Magandang gabi, brethren, which means, of course, good evening, brethren, in Tagalog, the national language of the Philippines. I'm glad I'm able to share these things with you tonight about the brethren in the Philippines. This was my, sixth trip there in January of this year, and it was kind of, it was fun. It was Brother Dan Beard went with us this time, and his first time, and I remember when I went to my first time to the Philippines, I was like, oh man, what do I do? I've never been. And Dan just stepped in like an old pro, and everything was great. You know, he had no problem. So it was fun having him there. Lots and lots of brethren have asked me since we've returned, how are the brethren over there after the storm Yolanda? And so you've seen things on television, you've seen things, you've heard things on the radio. So what I thought I would do tonight is we're going to show you what Yolanda, what it looked like in the aftermath of Yolanda, about 7 weeks after the storm, and you're going to see exactly what happened. This is not all of, these pictures are not all of brethren, but you'll get an idea that especially on the island of Leyte, how bad things were. And we're going to have some music while we're watching this.
Ang Diyos ay pag-ibig, because God is love.
Sa
I'm guessing I don't have to have any comments on this other than to say it was devastating, even for some of the brethren. Well, what we're going to do now is go back and start chronologically from getting into Manila, and the first class we visit is the Taguig City Bible students. And we visit them first because it's a suburb of Manila and the airport is fairly close. You're going to hear the word exciting, or we're excited about, or something like that quite a bit, because we were very excited about a lot of things. And we start right off in Taguig. This, I think you recognize Brother Dan on the left, Ray on the right, some goofy guy in a red shirt, and then Angelito. And I got to know Angelito through the PBI. He's emailed me, and he takes the Herald magazine. He gets literature. So I said, hey, look, I'm going to be there in January. You want to meet? And he says, yeah, I do. So we met. We brought him over to our hotel room, which I think the storm went through there too, but maybe not. Maybe just the maid didn't come, I guess. But we had our computers out, and we only had a 2-hour and 40-minute study because he owns his own business. He says, I've got an appointment. I've got to go. But he asked some really good questions, and he wasn't combative in any way, just really wanted to know how we saw things, and we talked about things. So that was an exciting event. We'll see how that shapes up. They usually have in Taguig a song, praise meeting, and testimony type on Thursdays, but we didn't get there till late Thursday, so we did it on Friday evening. And there's not so many come out on Fridays anymore because a lot of them now have jobs, which is really good because they're tough to get there. Here's Sister Regina doing the Sunday schools are big there. And you notice all the kids are paying attention. And I mean, she's very good. And the little guy in the back there is Brother Johnny. He's the elder in the class. And, He was forced to retire at 65. He's 69 now, and he's getting kind of weary of life, not of life, but from life. But he still hangs in there, and he's a very nice fellow. You'll know a little later why life is a little tough for him. And at this meeting, Sister Elmar from another city was traveled with us, and as it says, our guide, translator, and negotiator. She's very sharp. And as we go through, you're going to find out, wow, in the Lord's service, it's incredible what she does. But this is a great picture for me because Brother Dan knows her because she is on the online studies with their class on Wednesday nights. She's on with us on Tuesday nights. And so it was fun to see them get together, and they were both excited to meet each other. When we go there, Brother Agrippino, who was the one who started the Bible student movement over there about 9 years ago, and he always says, well, our guests are going to come up and give some encouragement to the brethren. So it's kind of like a little testimony, and we try to have encouraging things and bring lots of love from everybody that we know in the States that sent love and all that. And so that's what we're doing there. And then on Sunday, we had a meeting. And you see there's quite a few more brethren there. There's some exciting things coming up here. One of them is that the kids all speak English. They get it in school now. It is their official second language. And you can see the little boy raising his hand. That wasn't staged. I mean, I ask questions or whoever this leader is, and you know, the kids are raising their hand and they have good answers. They pay attention. So that's fun to be watching, and they don't have any language problems. The older ones, the general rule is the younger they are, the better they know English, because since it became their second language, they have to take it in school. Whereas if, you know, there's brethren we know that came in when they were in their 70s, not a lick of English. So we have translators, but it's not quite the same. We had a study that night on the parable of the sower. We wanted to we're not sure yet. We should be, I guess, but they completely understand the concept of consecration. And we put our heads together and thought that might be a good one. Instead of just saying, we're going to study consecration, look at it this way. And, of course, we have our Elmar, our translator up front. And what we're trying to get them to do is, you can see the lectern in the back there. We pushed that to the side and said, we want to sit in chairs and we want to be at eye level. Well, we're up a little bit, but at least we're sitting. And we want them to kind of get the idea that we are all equal in God's eyes. You know, some of us are teachers and some of us are learners, but they're used to most of them come out of the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Catholic Church. Now, there's some other independent churches that some of them come out of, but that's the most, where most of them have come from. And they're used to somebody being up there and preaching to them and, okay, Sunday's over. And I've also learned that it's a cultural thing. When you're the teacher, because I encourage them to ask questions if you don't understand, you know, if, you know, whatever. And they don't. And I found out maybe a reason why just recently, I should have realized this, but I didn't, that you don't question your teachers in the Philippines. And I think other countries are like that too. It's very rude, and they are just taught not to do that. You listen and you learn. So. But the study actually went pretty well. As we went, they slowly started raising their hands, and we kind of make the questions on their level. Remember, brethren, there is none of Brother Russell's writings in Tagalog or Cebuano. None. They're working on some, and there's some pamphlets and booklets that they were working on. But not too, you know, the volumes are not there. Some of them have read them. I know Agrippino has read the volumes and he has the reprints, but trying to pass that along, the translation work is horrendous because the languages are so different. There's like this many words in English. There's like this many in Tagalog. And so you have to, you know, one word might be a paragraph explanation. So we're working on that. But it seems that we want to get them in this idea of studying. We are Bible students. Another exciting thing is this lady in the lower right corner, her name is Rebbe. She has actually been corresponding online with a lady that considers herself in our class, but she's not consecrated, but she comes to our convention. She keeps in touch with us all. She's had some major difficulties in her life stemming from the fact that she was ousted and shunned from the Jehovah's Witnesses many years ago. But anyway, she's online a lot. And 2 years ago, I believe it was, Rebbe, we talked to her and she said, yeah, I'd like to come to the meeting when Dave is there. Because she knew Billy and blah, blah, blah. Well, she got lost and was there for about 10 minutes and she said, I got to get back and go to work. Well, this time she came and she brought her son, that's him in the back there, and her friend Dory. Dory is actually her sister-in-law, and Dory's husband had died 2 months earlier, and her husband is Rebbe's brother. So all of a sudden, Dory is kind of wants to know about things about death and dying and resurrection and things like that. And then this is Dory's two daughters and one of them's granddaughter. So we're excited to see where that goes. They seem moderately interested, so we'll see. Another exciting time. This is new brother Romy and his wife Lisa. And the lady from right there, Sister Mila, that's Romy's mother. Now, Sister Mila comes from a family, we're still not sure, I think about 12 or 13. And all but one of them came into the truth. And a couple of them have died already. Brother Nando died about a year after I met him. But they were all, the whole family was Jehovah's Witness. And all of them eventually, it took them all different times, are now Bible students. Romy did not come into the Bible students when his mother did. But I talked to him a little bit. He speaks pretty good English. And he said that he had got promoted and was working in the office of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And he said, I couldn't take it anymore. He said the hypocrisy was so bad. He said their demeanor in that office, and then when they're out with the congregation, two different things. He said things are told here, differently here. He said it was horrible, and he said this can't be right. So he decided to join his mom, and they were there just about a year, and they said, you know, we really like this. So we're excited about him because he's articulate. He studies his Bible. He knows his Bible. And when we had studies, his hand was up with good answers. So we're keeping our eye on him. It's very exciting. That's their little boy in the middle. And then those two girls are their daughters, their older daughters. And the girl on the right, I forgot who that was. I think it's a cousin. You met Brother Johnny earlier. Brother Johnny, this is his wife, Sister Mei Ling, and their son, Butch. Butch has cerebral palsy. And thanks to the generosity of a brother, and I'm not talking about me, they have sent money, and they've gotten Butch into a place where he can get therapy and stuff, and he's just doing so much better. I got to remember, I can't tell every story here because the time's going to fly. But Butch claims consecration. And I tell you what, we had a meeting when Joanna and I were there, and we were talking about the tabernacle, and we said, well, we're going to be back in 2 weeks. We're going to quiz you on what we talked about. And it was always the kids in the front. And then I asked a question they couldn't answer. I don't remember what it was. And then Butch kind of, I said, Butch, and he, I can't understand him. But his mom was sitting behind him. She says, I know what he said. I get emotional. Sorry. And it was just the right answer. It was very good. So Butch may not be able to communicate very well, but he's listening. And I know Brother Ken will be happy about that. It's one of his talents. So Brother Dan immersed both Romy and his wife Lisa. And we're just, I just have a good feeling. We stay in a hotel in Pasay, which is another suburb of Manila, and it's kind of between Taguig and the airport, I believe. It's hard to tell over there because I don't know the terrain. And while we were in Taguig, we tried to take the young adults out. They weren't all able to make it, as you can see, but we went out to pizza. They don't get to do that stuff. Taguig is a very poor suburb, and they just get to do this once a year, and we talk and get to know them a little bit. And two of the sisters you saw there are Sister Miriam and Sister Regina. They call themselves sisters, but they're really not. And they call one of the sisters in the class their grandmother because she kind of took them in, but she's not really their grandmother. They had basically really awful lives when they were young. And, but now, thanks to some brethren. This is not coming, these things are not coming out of any fund. These are personal things. They both graduated from college, from university. And so now they're able to start getting jobs and being self-supportive and, you know, helping the other brethren out. And Sister Regina actually traveled with us this time. So she could get to know the brethren on the other islands because they don't know each other. You know, they know they've heard the names. So then we head from Manila down to Dipolog City, and that's on the southern island of Mindanao. And that's where, Sister Elmar lives. And when I say exciting, there's lots of exciting stuff going on in Dipolog. First of all, I'll introduce you to some of the people that work at her cafe. She has a cafe called Morning Breeze Cafe. This is her son, David, who looks, yeah, almost identical. And Indai works there. Indai is the shyest person you will ever meet, but she's very nice, and she had some tough times, and she's kind of latched on to Sister Elmar, and she just goes over there every day and helps her. And so she doesn't have much, but she's a good person. I know she's listening at the meeting, so we'll see where that goes. Sister Rogelin, I know she looks about, what, 11, 12, somewhere in there? Yeah, she's almost 19. And we immersed her a few years ago when she lived in General Luna on another island. And she moved down here to go to school. Sister Elmar said, you know, you can bunk here at my place. And she is thriving, and she's getting more and more excited about the truth. They were kind of having some issues in the class where she came from, and she's real excited to be here in Dipolog. So we're excited about that. And she's doing well in school. She's going to a college there. Joram works there. He's also very shy. Finally took 17 pictures to get him to smile. But he's a nice young man, and he's been listening in on their studies. And he was so impressed with it that he went, he lives out of town, way out of town. We're walking there. The transportation wouldn't go any farther. So it was about, I don't know, about a mile, mile and a half walk on this. And it was real wet because it was after there were still small typhoons coming through, and it was raining a lot. But that's Joram there leading the way in the back in the purple. And he wants us to meet his family. And, of course, the creeks and everything were all swollen because of, you know, it had been raining so much. And they were to wear sandals, so they walk across. Well, my friend, Brother Dan Beard, he said, I want this picture to be in the presentation. I was trying to keep my shoes dry. Well, my next step was straight in the water. But it wasn't the end of the world. And so we were really out there. I think that's some kind of a Brahma bull or cow, I'm not sure. But we're heading out to Joram's grandmother's home, and this is what it looks like, and it's surrounded by rice fields and trees, palm trees mainly, but others as well. And so we're heading in, and they have a, I don't know if you can see what's going on, Brother Ray, the kids, Bible student kids, every kids, they'll see you come and they'll take your hand and they put it up against their forehead and they go, bless. It's a sign of respect for adults, towards adults. So that's what they're doing. His grandmother's name is Leah, there in the middle. And her daughters, Riza and Gina, and I believe it's Riza is the one that is Joram's mother. Now, Joram had to leave. He had to get back to, he had to take a test. He's also in school. And he said he just wanted to make sure we got out there okay. Well, and then these are Leah's grandchildren dotted all around in here. And the thing is, they've been Catholic all their lives. I mean, they're just indoctrinated, but they're starting to see that something's not right. Well, you know, we keep in touch through the year, and I talked to Elmar a while, I don't know, a couple months ago, whatever, and or last year, and she said, yeah, I've gone out there to see Joram's family. I said, oh, that's great. How they? And she said, oh, they're really wanting to know things. And then I talked to her another time. She said she went out again. So when we got here, I thought that she had been out there twice. And I mentioned that, and she says, I come out here every week. I said, oh, okay. Now, that's why they were even had more and more questions, which we love as Bible students, you know, so we know what to answer. But Joram's father was not able to be here. He was in an accident, and he was actually paralyzed from the neck down, and then it slowly went. By the time we got there, he was paralyzed from the waist down. I don't know exactly what happened, but the river was so swollen, they have to go through on a handmade raft. They go across the river to get from where they live over to where Leah lives. And so they said, we didn't dare put him on that raft. If he fell off and his legs are paralyzed, he wouldn't make it at all. So we didn't get to meet him, but he's also interested. And so we had a study. I mean, it was great. And then in the kids, they wanted to surprise us. We had no idea. They made this for us. I don't know if you can tell what that is. It's the chart of the ages. Yeah. And you can see their smile. They were so proud of themselves. You know, we had no idea that was coming. And, if Elmar put them up to that, she didn't say. But, and you can see that, the kids are interested too. And the kids, like I say, with the English. Well, we studied. They had, time is flying. They're asking questions like Leah asked about, is it novenas? Is that the word? She said novenas, the Catholic Church. Novenas, that's what I thought. Well, that's the way she pronounced it. And we asked what it was. She said, well, when my husband died, she said, for 9 days, you have to open your house up to the priest and any neighbors that come, and you have to feed them, and you have to pay the priest each day. And she said, you know, I found out they didn't own all those rice fields around this house. They didn't have much. They're kind of in the middle of a big plantation that's owned by somebody else. So, and she said, you know, and the neighbors come over and they expect food. She says, that's a lot of money for us. So we talked about that and what it meant. And she says, well, she says, if I stop believing in that, is that a sin? And so we had a good discussion. I think it was about a 2.5 hour study, and the only reason we had to get going is because we were going to meet another man in DePalog City over on the left. It's not his name, they call him Mentos, but he helps out Elmar with the children's studies. He comes and they have it right there in the restaurant. And this is what anyway, he had a lot of good questions too. But he's more into the holy roller, hallelujah. But, you know, we answered his questions calmly from our, you know, we had our Bibles out and everything. Anyway, this is what her little restaurant, her little cafe looks like. It's open on both sides. They have meetings there. Are you ready for this? Every night at 7 o'clock, anywhere from 10 to 20 kids come over, neighborhood kids. Some of them have been coming there since Elmar's started this, 3 or 4 years ago? I think it was 4 years ago. And they just come, they get up on a chair. She has her library up there. They pull out Songs of the Night, the manna, and now they're using Adam to Zion to study in, and they have a 2-hour study every weeknight. And they sing. They go through the study, and they were studying. Well, I'll show you. This is kind of what it looks like. And they love to learn, the kids there. Now, this little guy in the red that just went past, he's there. He's about this tall. He's 11 years old. He never knew his father. And one day his mother just left and never came back, him and his two siblings. And so somehow somebody got this figured out and got him in with his aunt and her son and their cousins. But he's very, very wary of adults. But he seems to be enjoying meeting with the brethren. And I hope I can get this out. We had one of the songs we sang that night was In the Sweet By and By. And, you know, all the kids are singing from their dawn hymn books, you know, and Anyway, everybody was passing in the books when they were done, and he kind of got a little bit by himself and didn't think anybody was watching. I was keeping an eye on him. He had the book out, and he had a big grin on his face in a sweet by and by. And he was just, he was just smiling, and he never smiled any other time. It was great. But, they brought in some questions. The first night, they studied Jacob's ladder, in the, Adam Design booklet. And then next time, they got a quiz the next night. And they're writing down, you can see this little guy he's really eager to get this filled out. And they all wanted to make sure they finished. And they were, they were just manning their Bibles and they're writing. So, exciting stuff. Anyway, just some basic shots. And there's Methos helping out. He just kind of appeared, and he seems to be harmless enough, so he's helping out on the studies for the children. What has happened since, and has happened after we left, is that there's a boarding house right across the street, and they're like dorms. There's a small college evidently close, and they've been watching and listening kind of nonchalantly. And after we left, finally, Elmar says, look, you guys, I know who you are. I see you. She says, you can come to the meetings. And so they started coming to meetings, 5 girls and 2 boys. And she said it only took a couple of days. And they said, look, can we meet with just us older ones? So now she has Monday through Thursday with the younger kids and Friday and Saturday with those kids for another 2-hour study each day. I don't think she sleeps. But and her son David is getting kind of interested. He's helping out. We'll see how our friend is doing here. He's still working on it, but that's David over the left, and he sticks around. He's been listening. So just thought we better check in with him before we go to Cebu City, and that's on the island of Cebu, and that's where Sister Glory Beth lives. Now, her name is Glory Beth, but she likes to be called Beth. I don't get that. Glory Beth is such a wonderful name. But she didn't realize we were coming. She knew we were coming kind of in the next month or so. But Elmar surprised her and we walked in. She was very happy to see his brother Ray on the right, and that's me on the left. And understand, Beth is totally blind. She doesn't see images. She doesn't see light. She is totally 100% blind. And you ask about a topic and she'll quote you a scripture. She's very sharp. She's a college grad and got one top grades in the school. She's very sharp and she loves the Lord. Oh my goodness. And she loves the truth. If you want to be inspired, go visit Beth. It's incredible. And then I was really excited about this because Glory Beth, let's see, on Tuesday nights, she meets on our online study. On Wednesday night, she meets with Dan Beard in his class, the Puget Sound Bible student study. On Thursday, she has a study with some sisters in the States. I think it's Kathy, isn't it? Kathy Beard. And then Debbie DeCroft meets with her on Friday. And then Saturday morning, she meets with Ray in his class in Australia. She loves the brethren. She loves fellowship. She loves it. And anyway, we're so excited to see Dan with her because Dan knows her from the phone and he's been eager to meet her, and they were both happy to see each other. The young lady in the back is Alejandra. She's 17. She takes care of Beth. Beth has had probably 4 since we've known her that come in, young ladies, and just help her out. Very nice. And what Beth is doing here, is Dan, our class has a Braille embosser. We got it mainly for her, but anybody else that would need it. And he asked us if we could do the charts from that. And well, Joanna tried and tried and tried, and it just never worked out. So Joanna got a piece of paper, a little cardboard, and then took some Braille paper and took a table knife and outlined the chart. So that's what Dan is working her around with her fingers, and that's why she's smiling, because she knows the chart, but she can't see it, and so this is how she sees. And at one point she goes, oh, and Dan's saying, now this is the world it was, this is this. And she says, oh, she says, I know what this is, I know what this is. She says, that's the present evil world, isn't it? And Dan, yeah, that's what that is. So, exciting stuff. And she loves fish, so there's a really nice restaurant, only about four, but she lives not a very good part of town. Praise the Lord for keeping an eye on her. But she loves the fish, and so we try to take her there whenever we're there. And of course, everybody wants to walk with Gloria Beth. I got my turn too, but, you know. But she's a sweetheart, and she's going to sing us a song.
There's no place
that noise is the fan, I'm sorry.
There's no place where earthly favorites have such kindly judgment. Search the scriptures and you'll see heaven mercy judge of
you. Thank you, Sister Gloria Beth. We are going to come back to her place later. But right now, we are heading to Tacloban. Tacloban is on the island of Leyte. You saw in the beginning a bunch of pictures from Tacloban. And if you've watched television about what happened there, that's mainly what you saw, was the airport and the town of Tacloban. There's no brother in there, but that's where the airport is. So we then take a van, there you go, from Tacloban over to Buena Vista. What happened there? Okay. Anyway, Buena Vista is like a village of maybe 100 max, I would think. And there's one little square block in town and all these grass huts around it. But I think basically everybody in town has been to at least one meeting, and they either like it or they don't, but it's a very solid class. But before we check in on him, let's see what's going on with our little friend in Dipalog. Yeah, he does not give up. The tenacity is incredible. So, I wish I could remember his name. I'm sorry. Remember I told you that back in Taguig there was Sister Mila, and that her whole family except one was in the truth? This is the house of the one that's not. And you can see it's very nice. That's actually a refrigerator. That's actually a gas stove. Now, the first time I went, we stayed there, you went through that door to the left, and there was just a fire pit kitchen type thing, stove. So she's put money in. She married somebody from Paris, and she lives in Paris all, but she comes home about 2 weeks a year. But she's very nice to us. She lets us stay there. She lets us use the facilities, and it's great. On the right there is Brother Henyo. He's the elder in that class. Not a lick of English, but boy, is he is, we're very pleased with how things are going there. You're going to meet Brother Jose next to him later. He's from Inupakan, and his son, too, over next to Dan, Jose Jr. We'll tell you more about those as they come up. They have no water there. I don't know how long this going to last, so they have to walk up the road about a half a mile and bring buckets back, not for drinking, but for washing clothes and, you know, cleaning and stuff. And they just walk up there in buckets. That Sister Jocelyn, she was about the last holdout from the Jehovah's Witnesses that finally said, this is, you know, I'm going to do this. And so she's very certain of it, of her decision. This is her husband, sweetheart, his name? I never remember. Ronnie, thank you. I don't think that's working, is it? Oh, okay. Ronnie, anyway, very nice. He's always smiling, but he's not interested really in what we have, but he's very helpful, and he's kind of a nice guy. And that was the main street in Buena Vista. So we're having a meeting, and you notice kids and adults are all mixed through there. This is still in Sister Fila's home, Sister Mila's sister. And two of them there, Brother Godofredo and Sister Yolanda, I believe it was last June when Ray was there, they're both widowed, and they met each other and they wanted to get married, but they wanted us to baptize them when we were there, and they said because they wanted to get married as Bible students. And the little picture at the bottom is he is so serious. She is too. I mean, he's not grumpy. He's just serious. He's very serious about the Bible. He was a Seventh-day Adventist for many, many years and likes very much what he hears from the Bible students. But he was kind of mugging for the camera a little bit, which I had to take because it was so out of character for him. Anyway, you met Brother Henio earlier. The lady straight in the back with the dark blue and the red collar, Sister Regalada, and she was going to be immersed, but we were listening to the radio all that day because there was typhoon warnings coming up the coast, and we thought, well, we don't want to be in the Pacific Ocean, and she said, that's fine, we'll do it when Ray comes back in June. And here's my little buddy, LJ. LJ I've known since she was, she's 13 now, and this is my sixth year, so I met her when she was six or seven, and she lived in Taguig then, but she's a good kid. LJ, by the way, stands for Lovely Joy, and she's in charge of the Sunday school there. So here she's reading the God's Promises Come True, the new one that the Dawn put out, I don't know, a year ago or something like that, and somebody said, well, why don't you read this, see what you think? Everybody liked it. I won't go into too much detail, but they really needed this. What they were using was something somebody found from the Lutherans. So we said, you might want to think about this. Sister Ana Carita and her husband Margarito were also baptized at the same time as Yolando and Godofredo, and then also married by Brother Ray when he came back a couple months later. When I was showing Dan around town, I said, let's take a walk. I'll show you kind of what's going on around here. And I said, I think Brother Margarito's house is somewhere. And when I say house, we're talking fairly small shack, not very big. And I'm looking around, and I saw him. There was one that kind of the front was off, and you could see where they'd kind of repaired it, and the roof was mostly gone, but enough over. So there was just a little area, not even as big as this. And I saw him come out of the door on the side, and he had like a dish pan. I thought maybe he was bringing out dinner to eat outside. And then we went over there, and it was clothes. He was washing clothes. But as you see the smile he has here? He had that same smile when he was coming out. He didn't know we were there. He came out, he's smiling. I mean, they just take this stuff in stride, even though half their home was ripped down. Here's some of the other brethren in Buena Vista. And there's Sister Regalada. Sister Delia is Brother Henio's wife. She's also one of the sisters to Sister Mila and Fila and Jocelyn. Her twin sister, Aurora, died a couple years ago. Had been battling tuberculosis for quite a while. Danilo lives across the street, and you saw that street, and he's kind of had his eye on it. They kind of had an issue in the class, and I'm not going to go into what it was, but it was pretty serious. And four of them, Adela, Regalada, Danilo, and it's five, and Yolanda and Godofredo stopped coming. They said, this is not right. And Brother Henio, he did all the right things and took care of business, and they came back, and they've been back for a while now, and it's going much, much better. They were very excited about what's going on there. So I hope I didn't say too much, but I think we should probably check in DePaulo right now and see what's happening with our friend. He's still at it. You know, they just were not going to leave it alone until they were done. Just that was it. So from Buena Vista, we took a van down to Inupakan. And Inupakan is where, I forgot their last name, but it's Jose Sr., which you met, his wife Bibi, and this is his daughter Jovi. And all the other kids, I think, are neighbor kids. I don't think they belong there. But you can see their house. It's not grass. It's that cinder block. And here's Sister Bibi, loves to feed her company. They don't have a lot, but she loves to cook for anybody. And she's usually smiling when she's working. I caught her at an odd time because when she'd go up to Buena Vista, even her very first year up there, she is working away and just smiling, and they're really enjoying the truth. And here's her husband, Brother Jose. We had given them some money because their house just wasn't doing it to build a little meeting hall, which in our money was very inexpensive, but he did it all himself. Well, then the storm knocked off his roof and just utterly destroyed the little meeting hall. So by himself, he fixed everything back up. He's, you know, handy with tools and stuff. And, but that's, I didn't even know until I was there a few weeks ago, the ocean comes right up almost to this end of it. I'm pointing, like you can see, to this front end of it. But here's their family. And the one just to the left, you met Jose Jr., and that's Jovi. And then the little one there, I think Jovi and Jose have another, there's another sister, and is it two more brothers or one? I can't remember. I met one of them. Anyway, it's their child, and he was over there. And the neat thing about, the exciting thing about this is Jose Jr., he says, I want to be baptized. I want to do it. And we said, okay, hang on. You know, so what we did was we said, when we get back down to your place, we'll have a study. And Brother Dan led a study on, we call it baptism/consecration, because I didn't think they really understood that word yet. And you can see that, I mean, he was taking notes and everything. Most of the time they don't there, but he speaks pretty good English. And he was writing stuff down, and so he is really interested. Jovi's pretty interested. But Jose and Bibi, we've watched them. Let's see, I think this is our third or fourth year seeing them. And their knowledge level and they've totally quit their own church a couple of years ago. Just as a local independent, but with the usual fare of doctrines. And when we were there in January, they said, you know, Jovi's getting married on May 3rd. Would you three, me and Dan and Ray, come back and do her wedding? And so Dan wasn't able to go, but Ray and I went. And this is Bride Jovi and her, when this picture was taken, he was now her husband, Elias. And you may see what he's wearing. This is called a barong. It's actually a barong Tagalog, but they call it a barong. And this is formal wear. Now, his actually has a collar. Most of them don't. They're made out of, I understand, pineapple leaves. And it's real sheer. You can kind of see through it. There's a special shirt that goes underneath. And so, well, you'll see some pictures where we all had them. But that's, that's what they wear. They don't wear tuxedos. I think they're too hot. But outside cooking was the one of the meals. In 2 days, Bibi, with some help, prepared meals for about 20 people, maybe a few more. And then they had the wedding, but it was good. You know, she had help, but boy, she worked hard getting everything put together. They put some things together in the kitchen as well, but they had the house decorated up, and so it was really nice. It was really nice. We're glad we could be there. And here's I kind of did the ceremony part, and Brother Ray did a discourse on marriage, and this is the little chapel that we were in. We all actually sat down, and others sat around that. But it was Mom and Dad. Yeah. Elias was funny. He's so shy. When it came time to kiss the bride, he was kind of like, so I was cracking up. We had not met him before. We knew Jovi pretty well. She'd gone up to Buena Vista with us a couple times. And I wanted to take this picture because the sister on the right is Sister Regina. She lives in Taguig and goes to that class. But we wanted her She's also been to college and graduated, and we want her to meet the brethren as we travel, because like I say, they never see each other. They can't afford to travel from island to island. And oh, she was just thrilled meeting all these brethren, part of the service. So before we, as we move on from there, we'll check back in into Palog. And he's still hard at it. My goodness. If you're a teacher out there, how'd you like to have this kid for a student, huh? So we're heading back to Cebu. And we're going to meet back up with Sister Beth. And do you remember when Sister Beth was singing the song, she had this thing in her lap? And it's called a Braille note taker, right? And you can see from this shot, you see between her hands, those white, little white dots. There's a series of the line of white dots up there. What it is she either says she can say things or type things in, and pins pop up. So she reads the Braille. She gets the, like she, when she was singing her song, she'd hit enter and then she'd follow it across and then hit enter and follow it across. Like that, and it's really wonderful, and it helps her. She's starting to do some serious translating now that she has this, and Sister Joanna's gonna, I never remember how this helps her do the translating.
She has a computer that has JAWS software, which is able to read to her, but it only reads in English, and so she can listen to it, and when she used to try to type in Cebuano on her computer, if she would go get lunch or something and come back, she wouldn't be able to understand the computer trying to read in English what was typed in Cebuano. It just didn't translate well enough. It was really hard for her to be able to do the translation and figure out where she was. So now she can do the typing in on her note taker here, and she can still listen on her computer in English so it can read to her the volumes or whatever she's translating at the time. And then if she gets up and goes away, comes back, she can feel on there because it pushes the little white pins through the holes there and makes Braille characters. So she can just read it as if she had just read it.
Salamat. And this is her little workstation. They all have fans, by the way, because it gets really warm there and none of them can afford air conditioners. But the fans really help. So it's time to head home, and we're going to close with the children from the DePaulo class singing God Be With You. There it is. Sorry. Okay, let's back up. We'll start all over.
God be with you.
Dear brethren, I ask that you would please keep these wonderful brethren in your prayers. I just put about 2 hours worth of information into one, so I know I've left something out. If you have any questions for me, anytime, ask me, and I'll be happy to answer. Thank you for your kind attention, and all I can say is,